such a way among God's people that he will sow into the midst of them people who are in fact in essence not Christians, but outwardly look like Christians. That means to say they will even behave like Christians up to a point. They will even speak like Christians up to a point, but are in fact in essence quite different. They are sown by the devil. This means therefore, as mutually as we expound this, you see that the weeds are simply not genuine Christians. But now this does not mean that they themselves think that they are not genuine Christians. Now that's very important to bear in mind. And this is the next point we have to develop. As we study the scripture and how these words are used, we realize there is the further tragedy that these darnel in fact think that they are wheat. Precisely because they look so much like wheat, they even believe it themselves that they are wheat. Now that is the greatest tragedy of all. It is not that this whole field of the church is full of people who deliberately are in there to destroy the church. Not at all. They are simply people who are not genuine Christians, who function inside the church and think themselves to be genuine Christians. Now that raises a vital question. How do you know? How do you know whether you are truly wheat or whether you are weed? Darnel. How do you know the difference? Just exactly how are you going to tell? You may have the idea, the confidence that you are a true Christian. The question is whether you are a true Christian in God's eyes. That is the point. Not whether you are a true Christian in your own eyes. Whether I am a true Christian in my own eyes. Paul says, I do not even judge myself. The question is whether I am a Christian in God's eyes. Let a man examine himself, Paul says. Now, how do we know? You see, as it goes on into verse 41 in the explanation of this parable, we read that these weeds are in fact stumbling blocks inside the church, and the Revised Standard Version translates evildoers, verse 41. Stumbling blocks is translated as causes of sin, and the other word, the other Greek word is translated as evildoers. Now what the word translated as evildoers is not accurate at all, because it gives the wrong impression. The word literally in the Greek means doers of lawlessness. Doers of lawlessness. Now when you listen to the term doers of lawlessness, you really understand why they translate this as evildoers. Because if you do lawlessness, you are an evildoer, quite rightly so. But now as we compare how this word is used elsewhere in the New Testament, a picture which is very important for understanding weeds emerges. This same word in the Greek is used in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. And in Matthew 7:23, when you check how this word is used, you discover that this word is not used of unbelievers, but of Christians. Indeed, it is used of Christian workers. Now that is something really striking. Matthew 7 and verse 23. You remember it says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You see, here are people who say Jesus is king. They say, Lord, Lord. These people do honor me with their lips, Isaiah says. But their hearts are far from me. You see, they claim Jesus is king of their lives because they say, Lord, Lord. I mean, Lord means king. But not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter that kingdom of heaven, that is the future kingdom of heaven. Here's the future tense. Shall enter the future. But he who does right now the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, the very same day that this parable is talking about, the day of judgment, they will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Now these are people who worked in Jesus' name. They did mighty works in Jesus' name. And notice the frightening words in verse 23. And then I will declare to them, not to the unbelievers, but to these people who worked in my name, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. There's exactly the same word in the Greek, evildoers. People who cast out demons, who prophesy in Jesus' name, who do mighty works of healing in Jesus' name, are evildoers. You see what I mean? There you see the parable of the wheat and the tares coming out. The evildoers are not unbelievers. These doers of lawlessness are in fact these tares. These people who call Jesus Lord, and maybe they even mean it to some extent, but their lives are not lived in obedience to God's will. They do not do His will. Now that's biblical teaching. I don't care what kind of dogma you hold, what kind of theology you hold. I don't care what kind of theology anybody holds. This is the biblical teaching. And you can go on teaching dogma, doctrines, whatever you like, but you best see to it that your doctrines are scriptural. Because if they are not scriptural, then your doctrines will get you right to where these people got. On that day of judgment, they end up in the flames of fire. Did these people have faith? Remember this. They certainly had faith. Nobody does anything in Jesus' name who hasn't got faith. They cast out demons in Jesus' name. They had faith in Jesus' name to have the power to cast out demons. They believed in Jesus' name to have that power. Do they have faith? Do you have that kind of faith? They had faith. They could prophesy in Jesus' name. Do you have faith to prophesy? They had faith. But what they did not have was doing God's will. Prophesying is not equivalent to doing God's will. Doing miracles, and there are a lot of faith healers today, is not equivalent to doing God's will. Doing God's will is what? Is living a life of holiness. Now you see why the scripture emphasizes holiness. Living a life of holiness means simply this, that you live completely and truly and totally under God's kingship. That He is truly king of your life. That's scriptural teaching. Isn't that plain to us? Have we got ears to hear? Or has our doctrines blinded us to God's truth? Alas for the church, what's happened to us? Is not God's truth plain enough to us? Is it not clear? Here, let me sum up again for you very plainly. Unless you crown Jesus king of your life, you can do all the miracles in this world, and you will not be saved. Even you do those miracles because you have faith in Jesus' name. You see, it's not the it's the faith which submits to living under God's rule that saves, not the faith to do miracles that saves. Distinguish carefully between faith and faith in the Bible. That is why the Apostle James says, "Show me your faith by your works." I want to see what kind of faith you're talking about. If your faith is the kind that does miracles, that's not going to save you. It's the faith that acknowledges Him King in my daily life, moment by moment, day by day. That may not be as spectacular as doing miracles, but that's what God wants in the first place. In addition to that, you can also do miracles through the power of Jesus' name. That's wonderful. But the one cannot replace the other. Oh, I hope that by God's grace, you can truly see what God is saying to us. What you are is what matters, not what you do. It is what you are that matters to God. What you do is not very important to Him. And I say this in warning to all those young people who think that by being very busy in the church shows how good a Christian you are, running around organizing this and organizing that. Some people who have just come to this church say, "I want to do something in the church." And then if they're not given something to do, they go somewhere else. That's fine with me. Dear brother and sister, by all means go. Because if you think in this way, you have not yet understood that first of all, God wants to see what you are. And I want to see what you are before you have something to do. It's easy to find jobs for people to do, but you can harm them more than being a blessing to them. Because they think that by their many activities, they are wonderful Christians. I am president of this CCF, I'm running this and I'm organizing that and I'm leading this Bible study and I'm doing that. Oh, you are very busy. I don't doubt you are very busy. But what are you in yourself? Are you a wheat or are you a darnel? All the activities outwardly look like a true Christian, but what are you inwardly? Now notice further the great tragedy that these people in Matthew 7 thought that they would be saved. On the day of judgment, they're even presenting their works. "Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name?" They had honestly thought that because they did all this, they could be saved. They really had faith in Jesus. Jesus turns them away. I tell you, the day of judgment will be a fearful day of surprises. There are many people who are going to get there thinking, "My seat is reserved for me in heaven." And God will say to them, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Who are you? You are not the wheat. And the tragedy of it is that they were led to believe that they were true Christians. The devil is the father of lies. And you believe his lie that you are a true Christian, then you are in the most pitiful condition of all. That you can be a true Christian without holiness. That you can be saved without having kingship in his life. Now let me tell you, the parallel between these two is the parallel between two kinds of people in the church, to put it in a simplified way. The kind of person who believes in Jesus as Savior, and the kind of person who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but in that order. If you are a Christian because you simply believe that Jesus is Savior, you have believed a lie. A.W. Tozer, that great servant of God who wrote many wonderful books like The Pursuit of God, in his book called The Root of the Righteous, he made this statement there. He said the greatest heresy in the teaching of the church today is to separate between Savior and Lord, and to say that you can have Jesus as Savior without having him as Lord, and have him as Lord at some subsequent stage of consecration. The people who say that think they're very clever. They think they understand theology. They think they, first of all, you accept Jesus as Savior. You don't say a word about Lord. And you're going to be saved when you have Jesus as Savior. And then if you fancy it one day, and if you please one day, if you happen to like it one day, then maybe you will crown him also as Lord in your life. But that is a higher stage of consecration. But even if you don't have that, you will still be saved. Now that's what I mean by a lie of the devil. That is a lie. You see, there is no kingship there. There is no kingdom of God there. They want to make use of Jesus to save themselves. And maybe one day if they are up to it, they might say, well, I will also have Jesus as Lord. Maybe one day. But if not, it still doesn't matter. Alas, anyone who teaches such is teaching a lie of the devil, as even this great servant of God, A.W. Tozer, has warned again and again. But that is standard teaching today, is it not? You were brought up in this teaching. I was brought up in that teaching. That's what closed our eyes to the Word of God. And many times when I preach the Word of God, they say, he has confused consecration with justification. I have confused nothing. If anybody understands some theology, let me tell you, I have done enough theology in my time not to make elementary mistakes of this kind. There are a few people around these parts who have spent, if I must boast, and as Paul says, you drive me to it and I behave like a fool. There are not too many people who have spent as much time in theology as I have. And I am not going to make elementary mistakes of this kind. I confuse nothing. The scriptural teaching is so. And to separate that into two stages, the second of which is simply electional, up to you whether you want it or not, it is optional, take it or leave it, is simply Satan's lie. I beg of you to understand this, because your salvation is tied up in it. This is what happened to these tares. I want you to understand that they were sown by Satan, but they honestly believed that they were saved, that they are Christians. And in the kingdom of God, which they were at that stage until they are thrown out. It is the same tragedy. Here they are called, these are the sons of the devil. That's what the Lord Jesus says. The tares, the darnel, whatever you like to call them, are the sons of the devil. But do you think the sons of the devil are conscious that they are sons of the devil? Alas, no. You need only read John chapter 8 to realize this. There the Jews say, we are sons of Abraham. And what does God say to them? What does the Lord Jesus say to them? You are of your father, the devil. He says to who? To the Jews and the Pharisees, the most righteous of the Jews. The Pharisees wanted to excel in their own righteousness. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. The very people who are the most religiously enthusiastic people are described. Not unbelievers, I beg of you to understand this. The unbelievers are not described as sons of the devil. It is these religious people. Read the Bible. Sometimes it gives you a shock of your life to understand these things. And then the Lord Jesus said to these Jews, God's people, God's chosen people, and the Pharisees, the most righteous law keepers of all, he said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Crown God as king in his life. Whatever you say, I will do. Wherever you send me, I will go. You are king of my life. That's what Abraham did. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do that. But in fact, you, whatever you honestly think about yourself, let me honestly tell you, not by way of insulting you, but in the hope of making a correct diagnosis so that you can be saved. You've got to tell a sick man he's sick, otherwise he thinks he's healthy. You may have cancer in yourself, and up to a point you feel very healthy. My father felt fine before he died of cancer. He felt wonderful. He was feeling fit. He just went for a routine checkup, and the doctor said, what's this lump you got here? He said, what lump? Oh, this lump here. Oh, he said, it doesn't hurt me, it means nothing. 2 months later, he was dead. He was feeling fine when he went for his medical checkup. That you feel good, that you feel you're all right, proves absolutely nothing. The question is, what is your true spiritual state? Do you know that the disease is there and killing you? No. That's why when Jesus says to them, you are of your father the devil, he is not trying to insult them. He's saying, come to your senses. Until you receive Jesus, and you receive God as king of your life, you are still going to be sons of the devil. And you're going to perish in your sins. In another place, in John chapter 9, he says to them, because you think you see, because you say you see, therefore your sins are with you. They honestly thought that they could see. They thought everybody else is blind, but they are the ones that see. Oh, nothing is so frightful in our lives that when we think something, that we are when we are not. Oh, that is the utmost tragedy. God help us to be saved from that. May I ever come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to be open to you. I beg of you, just show me myself as I truly am. Not as I think I am, but as I truly am. Now, how then do we know? Are we left to guesswork? Are we left to inner feelings whether or not we are truly Christians? Thanks be to God, we are not left in that desperate state. What happens? Well, here the Lord Jesus tells us how you know. When the fruits came up, you told that you could see the difference. That means to say, again, what is the fruit in the Bible? I have expounded on this before. You know at once, the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It is holiness in your life. Have you got holiness in your life? Do you go back and you quarrel with your brother and your sister? Do you quarrel with the fellow Christians, with your landlord or landladies? But whatever you do, you go to college and you behave like a non-Christian and you're going to be saved? By their fruit you shall know them. By your fruit you will know yourself. I know myself. You may think I'm a wonderful Christian. I know myself whether I'm a wonderful Christian or not. I look at myself and I see just how much I fail. But I also see how much, by God's grace, He has made me what I am. If I see any good in me, I can say only with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I know what I was before. I know what I am now. I know what God has done in my life, and I say, thanks be to you, Lord. When other people can begin to see a change in you, and you honestly know that that change is God's work in your heart, you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you know you are a true Christian. And the Spirit of God, as Romans 8 says, witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. You have assurance, powerful assurance, because God's Spirit witnesses with you, and His Spirit witnesses with you, because at the same time He is producing powerfully the fruit. Or do you keep losing your temper? How do you behave? Don't say these don't matter. That's what the people want you to do. That's what Satan wants you to believe. It doesn't matter how you behave. You're going to be saved anyway. How you behave is an indication whether or not you are a new creature. That's why it's so important. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Without the holiness that the Holy Spirit works into your life, you shall not see God. Are you a wheat? Or are you a weed? A darnel? And remember again, the darnel is poisonous. That is why it has to be separated from the wheat. It must be carefully separated. In fact, if any mistake is made during the reaping period and some of the darnel gets mixed up with the wheat and is ground into flour, people are going to get very badly sick when they eat this mixed flour. That's why it has to be carefully separated and destroyed, burnt. I pray that God will help you to understand this message, that God will open your eyes and my eyes, that we together may ever say, Lord, search me and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. So one final point. Remember, these evildoers are not people who go around committing murder, committing adultery and doing things like this. Don't say to yourself, well, I didn't commit murder, I didn't do adultery, so I am not one of these evildoers. Don't deceive yourselves. Remember, the evildoers apply to those people who carried out miracles. This word, evildoers, in the Bible is also applied to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. And it refers, as I reminded you, the words meant doers of lawlessness. That means to say they do not submit to the law of Christ. They don't live under Christ's law. They do their own thing. They want to believe whatever they want to believe. They do whatever they want to do. They don't live under his lordship. Paul twice speaks about the law of Christ, one in 1 Corinthians 9 and the second time in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. The law of Christ. He says, I am not without law. I live under the law of Christ. Why doesn't somebody preach on that? Bear carefully in mind these matters, so that holiness, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 and 2, let holiness be perfected in your life. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.